Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, August 27th, episode 175 of the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Let's get started with our tip-off topics with Rick Carlisle gets a deserved extension. Rick Carlisle, the coach of the defending Eastern Conference champ Indiana Pacers, has signed a multi-year extension to stay with the Pacers. I've talked at great lengths on this network about the respect I have for Rick Carlisle. This is someone that has been a head coach in the NBA since 2002. I think he's going to finish his 23rd year coaching in the NBA. He's made the playoffs 15 out of those 23 years. You can look at his track record with the Detroit Pistons, making it to the Eastern Conference Finals before Larry Brown took over and they won the NBA championship. You're going to look what he did at Indiana. I know you could talk about the malice at the Palace, but he got them into a conference finals, and then it kind of went downhill after the whole malice at the Palace thing. He went to Dallas. Then he took over and won an NBA championship in 2011, right, when people thought that they were just a pushover to LeBron. And then obviously as things went south and he missed the playoffs his last, three of his last 5 years, he went on to Indiana. First 3 years in Indiana, not good. 25-57, 35-47. But then 47-35, 50-32 with a loss in the conference finals and then a loss in a seven-game series to Oklahoma City in this past year NBA finals. And if you really look at it, right, he had Dirk Nowitzki in, obviously, Dallas. But how many top five, top 10 players did he coach over the time frame? You can look at his Detroit Pistons days. He didn't have a top five guy and a top 10 guy in the NBA. Yeah, Indiana, well, I mean, you know, listen, he had Jermaine O'Neal was an emerging superstar. Reggie Miller was at the end of his career, right? He had Steven Jackson. He had Ron Artest, right? He had good players. Obviously, with Dallas, he had Jason Kidd, but more towards the end of his career. Michael Finley, Jason Terry, guys that have won, right? But not in the prime of their careers. And then what he's done in Indiana, yeah, you could probably say he turned Tyrese Halliburton to a borderline top 10 player in the NBA, but he's also done it in places where you didn't think you could win. And I think that's the thing that I've looked at Rick Carlisle is his ability to match up against some of the other coaches. When you think about the last 20, 25 years, I mean, you know, you think about Phil Jackson, you think about Greg Popovich, you think about Eric Spoelstra, think about Mike Budenholzer. You think about Doc Rivers. You think about Steve Kerr. But when you bring up all of those names, you never bring up Rick Carlisle. And I really think that's a miscarriage of justice of what the job he has done. He has done an amazing job with this team. Even with Miles Turner being gone to Milwaukee, and Tyrese Halliburton out for the year with the Achilles, I am not writing off the Indiana Pacers. That's why earlier this month, I told you, I thought Indiana is going to make the playoffs. Why? Rick Carlisle. Congratulations to Rick Carlisle for getting a much-needed extension. On the other news, John Wall has announced his retirement. Now, you're thinking about, wait a minute. John Wall has to play in 2 years. You're right. He hasn't played since a 22-23 year with the Clippers. And I think this is a player where, like, if we talk about players that are, or coaches that are not getting their due in regards to how great they are in Rick Carlisle, we can have the same conversation about John Wall. I know. They only made the playoffs only four times, 2014 and 2018. They only made it out of the first round two of those 4 years. But I want to give you guys about a 5 year stretch, 6 year stretch of John Wall starting in 2013, 2014. 19.3, 8.8 assists, 17.6, 10 assists, 19.9, 10.2 assists, 23.1, 10.7 assists, led the league, I do believe, two steals per game, 19.9, 9.6, 20.7, 8.7. I know after you get after 2017, he didn't play a ton of games. But John Wall was such a dynamic offensive force. One of the quickest guys I've ever go baseline to baseline, almost what we call the one-man fast break. Now, could John Wall ever shoot the ball from three? Oh, God, no. He's a 32% shooter from three. I get it. He only shot, but he still shot 76%, 77% from the foul line, 43% on the floor, averaged 8.6 assists per game over his career. He'll get judged on the fact that his team did not win. But one of the best players, or one of the greatest players, now you're going to go different, people. I'm going to say Wes Unseld is the greatest Washington Wizard. But we need to talk about John Wall. Is he on now Mount Rushmore of greatest Washington Bullet / Washington Wizard? Now, you got to talk about Earl LaPerle. You got to talk about other players. But that's something that maybe we should get into in this show. Maybe we need to go through all the teams. We started a while ago. Maybe we need to go through all the teams and maybe do a Mount Rushmore, our starting five for each team in the NBA. Let's go to the W, where two big stars, two of the maybe the Mount Rushmore right now in the WNBA, have returned from injury. First, Big Fish, Nafisha Kyler, comes back to Minnesota Lynx. And a scintillating 32.9 rebound, 11 from 16 from the floor, 2 of 3 from 3, 8 of 9 from the foul line, as she returned to the first place Minnesota Lynx. A team that now with Carrington in the fall, McBride to her natural shooting spot, are the leaders of the clubhouse not only in the division, but to win the WNBA title. A team that's been struggling, who got their star back, is Breanna Stewart, who came back last week for a 19-point, 4-12, but 11-13 performance from the foul line in their win over Connecticut. New York is going to be interesting, folks, because they have not been healthy. Now Natasha Cloud's out. She should be back for the game. We'll get this podcast on Friday, but she'll be back for Thursday. So it'll be interesting now to look at the New York Liberty with Enescu and Cloud in the backcourt, with Jonquel, with Stewie, with Fibich in the front court, with Messman coming off the bench, with Johannes coming off the bench, with Naira Salibly off the bench, Burke off the bench. It leads us to where they are, which is fifth. But you know who's in third? The Vegas Aces, riding a 12-game winning streak and playing their best basketball of the year. You look at the fact that now people are talking about Asia Wilson possibly putting herself into the conversation for league MVP. All the bad things I said about Becky Hammon, can't say it about him now because the team is winning and they're playing great basketball. But there's a couple of other reasons why, besides the play of Asia Wilson, as why this team's playing well. Now, Alyssa Smith being put into the starting lineup has been gold for this team. Defensive presence, rugged, can shoot the ball, and way bigger offensive threat for Kia Stokes. But Jewel Lloyd coming off the bench, putting the ball in her hands and let it fly from three. The Vegas Aces are now a championship threat. Coming up next, we'll get into our award tour as we start to look at the Eastern Conference and we continue our over-under win totals. We'll take a look at the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll take a look at my hometown New York Knicks. And we will talk about the Orlando Magic, three intriguing teams in Eastern Conference in different levels of where I think they could be this season. We'll talk about that on our award tour after this commercial break. Welcome back to Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 175, and it's time to get into our award tour as we look at the Eastern Conference now as we continue on alphabetically, and now we get to an intriguing team And that's the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that's transition, turmoil. There's a lot of different ways you can look at Milwaukee this upcoming year. Right now, their win total is at 42.5. To make the playoffs is minus 250. To miss the playoffs is plus 162. 17-1 to win the Eastern Conference and 55-1 to win the NBA championship. So let's make sure, as we look at a team like Milwaukee, there are significant changes. Obviously, we saw Dame Lillard miss the end of the season with the torn Achilles in the playoffs. And obviously, we see that he was waived, and now he's back in Portland. You could also look at the fact that Brook Lopez was starting center for a number of years, signed a two-year free agency deal to head to the Clippers. But there were trades that came in, namely Gary Harris and Cole Anthony coming in from Orlando to kind of give them a little bit more shooting. Kevin Porter Jr. re-signed. And the biggest acquisition when they let go of Damian Lillard was signing Miles Turner. So when you kind of look at Milwaukee, right, there's Giannis, Miles Turner. You're looking at Kyle Kuzma. That's probably their front court. And their back court, you're probably looking at Gary Trent Jr. and probably Kevin Porter Jr. Now, does that make you excited about the team? I want you to think about this for a second. Their win total is at 42.5 wins. They won 48 last year. Remember, folks, they had to win their last eight games to get to 48. So they're basically 40-34 down the stretch. You look at their division. Cleveland, better, although they got injuries. And really quick, we didn't talk about this earlier. Max Strus out for 3 to 4 months with the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's going to affect them a little bit as well in the beginning of the season. They're not better than Cleveland. I told people they're not better than Detroit. And I don't think they're better than Indiana. So I think they're fourth in the division. Can they be fourth in the division and win 43 games? If you look at the division last year, you know, Cleveland obviously made the playoffs, same thing with Indiana, same thing with Milwaukee, same thing with Detroit. That was 44 right there. I'm going under 42.5, or if you want some plus money, I'm going to say they don't make the playoffs. Here's why. Cleveland, going to make it. Boston, going to make it. Team we're going to talk about next, New York, going to make it. I believe in Indiana, they're going to make it. Detroit, they're going to make it. Orlando, we talked about them. They're going to make it. And then there's Atlanta. I think they make it. So now there's one spot left, and it's Milwaukee. It's Chicago. It's Miami. It's, does Toronto make a move? Charlotte, who I'm high on. Do one of those teams come up there? I'm just not a big believer in the Milwaukee Bucks, and I think there's going to be trouble. So under 42.5, or even a better bet, how about plus 162 for the Milwaukee Bucks to miss the 2026 NBA playoffs? Let's get to New York. 53.5 wins, minus 7,000 to make the playoffs. They're going to make it, obviously. Plus 1280 to miss. They're going to make the playoffs, obviously. Best odds to win the East, I do believe right now, at plus 280. And 8.5-1 to win the NBA Finals. This has been another team that's been a little bit of change to transition. We've talked about it a lot. Tom Thibodeau is out as head coach. He brought in Mike Brown. I think Mike Brown is going to make this team, ready for this, folks, way more diverse and dynamic offensively. You have Jalen Brunson, All-NBA. Carl Anthony Towns, All-NBA. You have Mikal Bridges, great 3-and-D guy. OG Anunoby, who has had big spots. Josh Hart. But to me, it's going to be the leaning of, ready, folks? The bench, which is going to be important. Mitchell Robinson, if he stays healthy for a full year. Deuce McBride, what he has done. But it's the additions of Jordan Clarkson and Yabusele, which is really why I think the Knicks are going to be better. They're going to rely on their bench. And with someone like Clarkson, look at him as possibly Sixth Man of the Year award winner, or don't sleep with, and shout out to Kevin Walsh when he talked about this, Josh Hart, if they change the lineup, someone also to watch for in the Sixth Man of the Year award race. They're going to be better offensively. I like the Knicks to go over 53.5 wins. They got the 51, and they had their struggles at points, and especially the fact that they did not beat the top teams in the East, Cleveland, Boston. If you look at the other side, with Oklahoma City, look for the Knicks to go over 53.5 wins. Intriguing team really quickly is Orlando at 50.5 wins. -2,500 to make playoffs. They're going to make it. +850 to miss. 5-1 to win the Eastern Conference. 16-1 the NBA championship. I think their window is starting to evolve and get here. Here's the issue with Orlando. It is health. Ben Carroll missed time last year a lot. Both Bogners missed time last year. You have to look at Desmond Bane, their new acquisition, is someone that's missed significant time over the course of his career. Wendell Carter Jr. has missed time over the course of his career. Jonathan Isaac has missed time over the course of his career. Jalen Suggs coming back from injury. It's minus money. Maybe you parlay it with somewhere else. How about Orlando at -170 to win the Southeast Division? So really quick, we're going to go Milwaukee under their win total of 42.5 or +162 to miss the playoffs. We're going to take the Knicks over 53.5 wins. And then we're going to take Orlando at -170 to win the Southeast Division. Coming up next, we continue our war tours. We head to the Western Conference as we look at the defending champion Oklahoma City Thunder. We take a look at the Phoenix Suns. And we take a look at the Portland Trail Blazers after this commercial break. Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 175. And it's now time to continue our war tour with our Western Conference preview, starting with the defending NBA champion, Oklahoma City Thunder. Folks, sit down. This is going to be interesting. Their win total is 62.5. You can't even make a bet to make the playoffs because they're going to. And you'd be wild to take them to miss the playoffs. But if you want to, it's 70-1 for them to miss it. They're almost even money, +140 to win the Western Conference. And they're almost closely to that, +230 to win the NBA championship. So what do you do when you have a team with arguably the best player in the world, an SGA? A team that's got a budding two-way superstar in Jalen Williams. A front court that's got the defensive demon, Lu Dort. The shot-blocking domino, Chet Holmgren. And the ultimate glue big in Isaiah Hartenstein. Oh, there's more. A team that brings one of the best six men in the league, Alex Caruso, off the bench. A team that brings Isaiah Joe off the bench. A team that brings in Cason Wallace off the bench. A team that brings Aaron Wiggins off the bench. Oh, by the way, Nikola Topic, who was their draft pick last year, who I thought was a top five player in that draft if it weren't for injuries, oh, he's going to make his debut this year. So where are you going with these odds? I'm going to shock you. I'm going under 62.5 wins. Here is why. And shout out to my producer, Matt George, who does a great job. We talked about this earlier today. You had two teams in the Eastern Conference to get to 60 wins in Boston and Cleveland. Now, if I look at the West and say, can I get not just Oklahoma City, two out of Denver, Houston, and the Clippers to 55 wins? There's no way you're going to have a team with 63 wins and two other teams with 55 and probably another two that are between 49 and 52. So there's got to be some pullback a little bit, right? Under 62 and a half wins for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Oh, by the way, I still think there's a chance that they win the West. But I actually think someone else will be. We'll talk about that as we get really close to the season. Let's head to Phoenix. I don't care what Matt Ishbia says. This team is not good. Win total of 31 and a half. Plus 640 to make the playoffs. Minus 1450 to miss it. Imagine talking about that at some point with the Phoenix Suns. 20K to win the West, 60K to win the NBA championship. Starting lineup probably of looking at Devin Booker, Jalen Green, Ryan Dunn, Dylan Brooks, and Mark Williams. Huh? What? I mean, this team won, I think, 36 games last year. And if you look at their division, they're the worst. Lakers, Clippers, Golden State, Sacramento, all better than them. Right? Houston's better than them. Memphis is better than them. Dallas is better than them. Ready? Team we can talk about next is better than them. Minnesota's better than them. Denver's better than them. Oklahoma City's better than them. The only team that I've not named better than them are Utah, San Antonio, and New Orleans. And New Orleans is close. Go under 31 and a half for the Phoenix Suns. Let's end with Portland. 33 and a half is their win total. Plus 450 to make the playoffs. Minus 800 to miss. 17.5K to win the Western Conference, and 50K to one to win the NBA Finals. Folks, they won 36 games last year. Folks, they're going to be better. Denny Abidja, I think, is one of the most underrated players in the sport. Jeremy Grant, I know. Worst contract in the league, black guy can still ball. Scoot Henderson, figuring it out. You bring in Drew Holiday, right? Damian Lillard won't play, but he'll be a leader there. Matisse Thybul, Shaedon Sharpe, and then my favorite rookie, Yang Hansen. Folks, sit down. Over 33 and a half wins for the Portland Trail Blazers. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 175 for August 27th. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more. From the very best in the sports gambling industry. For my producer, Maddie George, who always does a great job. Thanks for listening, folks. And always remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.